This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
How are you feeling about that?
It's going good.
What are some of the things that you're trying to focus on here?
Just trying to get good, be good.
While you're trying to be good.
It's going pretty good.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Interesting day here on a Falcon Monday, brought to you by Xfinity. It's not Wi-Fi, it's X-Fi, guys. Check it out at Xfinity. Mike and I, listen, the conversations, and sometimes we say this. I mean, maybe we should do this the way the season's going. I wish we had a recorder in here to hear some of the conversations going on that obviously we can't put on air.
Bonus, Dukes and Bell.
Yeah, but we're all here, and my hand's way up in the air.
Right.
We're all here, and that's a high level of frustration right now.
Right, and that's the thing, you know, because we were talking to a lot of guys. Oh, it'll Dukes and Bell get on the air too. I mean, look, I'm just so frustrated. I mean, that's the thing. I'm beyond like angry. We always joke around about the different the stages, Carl. Like, first there's denial, you know what I mean? There's anger, and then I'm not saying I'm accepting the season is over, but it just you're trying to find some positives, and there's just nothing to hang your hat on from yesterday.
No,
you know. So I'm just so ticked off because when we talked to you on the radio, as we said back the first day of camp. Man, Super Bowl in Miami this year. My old stomping ground. Can't wait. You and I were all excited. And, you know, we really thought this team, with a healthy defense, you know, getting Keanu back, and of course he goes out with injury, you know, getting Debo back, and whether, you know, and Debo, I still making some plays yesterday, but still a little, maybe missing a little step here and there. But this defense we thought was going to be pretty good. And Quinn, more than anything else, Carl, certainly won over the players because the energy was infectious. Anybody who spent the 8 open practices at Flowery Branch will tell you. They're flying around, grinning ear to ear. There was trash talk. I mean, how many times you and I said on the air, look like this defense is going to have some swagger this year. And all that just completely goes out the window.
Yeah, it does. And if you're going, well, y'all are silly for believing that.
All we can do is tell you what we're seeing,
that's
right?
That's it. And last year, you have to remember, we're decimated by injuries. So your best linebacker out, your best safety. And we don't realize, I think maybe now we do, what kind of impact Keanu Neal has on this defense and the way that they try to run it. How he helps in run support and what he's able to do in coverages. With all of that said, you're seeing this thing now. But last year, we had a legitimate excuse. What's your excuse now? Grady's on the field. Deion's on the field. Vic Beasley's on the field. Tack McKinley's on the field. You went out and allegedly upgraded your defensive line, you know, with Davidson, who's out there. And by the way, he made a couple of plays. Jack's out there. I'm just laying it out to you. All these guys, Foyer Luakin got unbelievable amounts of playing time last year, and because of it, comes back as a starter. Yesterday, he has a monster play that probably could have been a turning point in the game. Mm-hmm. He's on the field, but gets flagged for a sack that was legitimate. There are no excuses, and the bigger part of this is the most frustrating part to me, Mike. I don't know if I was madder after the game, after hearing Dan Quinn saying that he was sharing the play calling duties. It just pissed me off, because weeks prior, he had said publicly, okay, when asked this question, he didn't think it was best for the team for him to do that. Mm-hmm. And if his ego wasn't that big, and if he wanted to not do, you know, hurt the team, I would do what was best for the team. And then after this devastating loss yesterday, all of a sudden now, when asked, you're telling us, well, by the way, I am sharing the play calling duties. I've been doing that for a couple of weeks now. Really? You didn't say that 6 weeks ago when we were saying, hey, this defense doesn't look too good. Maybe you need to back off the DC thing and just be the head coach. No, 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 no. That's very condescending now to fans who go, wait a minute, we've been saying this mm-hmm. for weeks, and all of a sudden now you're sharing the play calling. It really upset me yesterday right. when I heard that, because I think it was disingenuous.
I'm with you. You know, whether it's Bob Sutton or is it Jeff Ulbrich who's involved with it, I mean, okay. So who's dialing up the plays where Vic Beasley does a pirouette in the middle of the field and doesn't touch anyone?
It was awful.
You know, and that's the thing. I mean, Vic, if you watch 44, because needless to say, I've got a vested interest in my buttocks not having his face on it. And by the way, when I said that earlier this year, that was because of the $12.8 million bonus. There's no way this guy's worth this contract. And he's done nothing to disprove what I said back in the spring. And I said, I'll get a tattoo of this guy on my butt because I know he's never going to get a chance to sniff 10 sacks. Not happening. Doesn't have the game. You know, and you should have just cut bait on this guy. Everybody knew this last year, but you got to ride it out. Now, whether that's hubris, you know, whether it's Dan Quinn, I'll fix this. I looked at some videotape. I know how to unlock the mystery of getting Tack and Vic to the quarterback. Well, no, you don't.
I'm going to tell you coming up at 5 o'clock what the deal is behind Tack McKinley. Not, excuse me, Tack McKinley, Vic Beasley. I don't know what the deal is with Tack.
I don't know what the deal is with Tack.
But, Vic, I have inside information that I want to share with you guys, and I will at 5 o'clock. Stay right there. This is how bad it is, and we'll get to our NFL Blitz. We're going to hand out some game balls and no balls along the way as well. We've gone 4 games with no sacks. 7 teams in the history of the NFL have gone 4 straight games without a sack. I want you to think about that. We're celebrating the 100th year anniversary. 7 teams in that 100 years.
Right. They didn't start keeping the sack categories like late 60s.
Correct. Right. All right. In that history, have gone 4 straight games without a sack. If we go 5, which is next week with the elusive Russell Wilson, it will be a record. No team in NFL history has gone 5 straight games without having a sack. The last team to go 4 straight, Mike, you got to go back to 2008. Where were you in 08? What were you doing? Economic depression, downfall was about to happen. What were you doing? That's the last time a team went 4 straight games with no sacks. This is why we say Dan Quinn must go. It's not because we dislike him. That is completely underperforming when you have a defensive-minded coach who said he had all the keys to fix this, and he hasn't fixed jack.
And the coach who was calling you defense, who lost his compass, again, we're not making these things up. These are Dan Quinn's words we're using. Marquand Manuel, his defense had 39 sacks 2 years ago, 37 sacks last year. Now, not great by NFL standards, but certainly a hell of a lot better than what we're trending for this year. So now, and by the way, you know, with Vic, and if you could ever find some of the rumors about Vic over the weekend being trade bait, okay, who's gonna take that contract on, the prorated remainder of that contract? And what are you going to get, a 6th-rounder? 7th-rounder? I'd rather see Kaminsky. I saw John Kaminsky get out there yesterday. Let's see what 5-0 can do. Let's give the kid a shot. Get him some reps, because love the energy. At least the guy's going, he's working his way towards the quarterback, Carl. He's making some progress.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. It's a Falcon Monday. We're live inside the Kia studios. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Even our assistant program director, the underball, Sean, is rubbing his bald head. He doesn't know what's going on. Let's get to an NFL Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right. We got to start first with our own team. No balls. Yesterday was a debacle. Free in that incident with Aaron Donald. And by the way, Aaron Donald might be the toughest dude in the NFL, okay? I'm just going to lay it out there to you. He destroys full-grown men his size and bigger on a regular basis. And here you are trying to defend yourself. I get it, Free. Bad decision. You cost us there because you end up leaving the game. Can we give the Falcons a no balls, please?
No balls.
You know, we said it earlier. You also got no backups now, okay, in that situation because, you know, Brian Hill's the next man up in that one. You just don't have it. It was Kenyon Barner and Brian Hill. That was what's left on the depth chart because, if you didn't see it, Ito Smith goes out with a head and neck injury. So, I mean, I get it. But that's the ultimate expression of the frustration everybody's feeling. Run game was non-existent. Aaron Donald was in the backfield on every play. You know, they've been getting, like, Dante Fowler pressures. I mean, everything that could go wrong, Carl, as you said, and every facet, you know, the special teams, too. That's another thing. You move on from Keith Armstrong. Everybody in the building is screaming, call a timeout. That was the slowest fake punt as it developed I've ever seen. And it still goes for a first down, which is just, it's criminal that happens. I mean, you're somebody on the sideline, you know, even if you look like a horse's ass, if they just come back and you burned a timeout and they punt, so be it. That, to me, was inexcusable.
It was. And it was a big moment in the game as well. As they end up, they get points.
I mean, a field goal.
Anytime you get points out of situations like that, it's a win for the other team. Hey, let's give a game ball to Aaron Rodgers. We talked about this, guys. If you missed it, Rodgers, 5 touchdowns. Packers are 6-1.
Game balls.
They fake the jet sweep. Rodgers, deep drop. Throws left side of the end zone. Got his man. Touchdown, Jimmy Graham. A lunging grab at the far side pylon.
5 throwing, 1 running for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron looks like they're going to be back in the playoffs. Hey, can we give a game ball to Chase Edmonds? You're going, who's Chase Edmonds? Yeah, well, yesterday I needed a fantasy running back because Alvin Kamara was out.
Literally at 11:50, I tell my wife, damn it, I'm playing Mike. I need a running back.
Yeah, you snaked me. I didn't know who this dude was.
I go pick up Chase Edmonds. He gives me 3 touchdowns, 126 yards on 27 carries for the Arizona Cardinals.
Game balls.
In the shotgun, to his right is Edmonds. 3 receivers set. And it's a handoff to the left side. Edmonds, he's got room at the 20, the 10, the 5. He's in again. The hat trick. 3rd touchdown run. The first 2 went for 20 apiece. This one goes for 22 yards.
Woo! Yeah, I had to go, when I'm looking at my phone yesterday, I'm like, who the hell is Carl Gott getting all these points against me? So tonight, yeah, you know what, like CBS Sports Fantasy, they give you the percentages. You are a 99% lock. I got 1%. All I need tonight, I just tweeted it out. I need Le'Veon Bell to run for 200 yards and 5 touchdowns against the Patriots. Yeah. And then I got you right where I want you.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? The Bells are not doing well against me this year. I gave it to your wife.
Easy, Tyler.
And I am giving it to you.
You know what? You want to get your wife involved in this? I'll give it to her next year, pal.
It is Dukes and Bell. It's our NFL Blitz segment brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Mike, we got to talk about it. And, again, every week it pains me. The Saints win again. Mike! They beat Chicago.
Yeah.
They've won every game since Breeze has been out.
I was talking to my neighbor. We're down in Naples in this off season, and he called me up last night. He goes, what's your position on this Trubisky? I go, he's a dude. He's not the dude. He goes, this guy, I tell you what. You know why I don't like this guy? I go, why Al? He goes, because he goes by Mitchell. Shouldn't you be Mitch? I go, well, his mom called him Mitchell. What do you want from me? But the Bears all of a sudden are scuffling, aren't they? They're struggling, man.
They are. He did change his name, or his mom did. Either way. Saints moved to, six and one.
Oh, yeah, and Drew Brees working that little thumb.
Six and one.
You know where this is going, right?
Where?
We come out of the bye. We go to New Orleans.
Oh, and he comes out. He comes back.
Crowd. The roof may collapse. Well, maybe that's a good thing in the Superdome when this guy comes out. By the way, real quick, can I give up a game ball? Can I throw one in there real quick as a sidebar? Because one of the few things that I enjoyed this weekend at the game, let's give a shout-out to the Alabama State Marching Band. They got after it, man.
Game balls.
Nothing like a black man, bro.
Oh, did you see the
historically black colleges?
Majorettes, when they come out with a cape on, they drop those capes and they get down, man. It was on.
They do. No, listen. The halftime entertainment was more entertaining than our offense.
It sure was.
Okay? It's just a fact. And if you missed the performance, so be it. I'm just telling you. Good call, Mike, on that.
Right.
It is Dukes and Bell. Here's a couple of other ones, guys. Let's give a no balls. Guys, I've known Andy Dalton since his high school days. He won 3 state championships as a quarterback in Texas. Obviously goes to TCU. He's drafted. We call him the ginger. We have fun with that. Mike, talking about a dude, but not the dude. It's time for a change in Cincinnati. Andy Dalton throws a pick. He had multiple interceptions yesterday. 3. Yeah, it's time.
No balls.
Dalton in a shotgun, 2 receivers to either side. He's off the throw against a 4-man rush. It's going to be a screen, and it is picked off by Yannick Ngakoue to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, pick 6. Yannick Ngakoue extends the lead for Jacksonville.
So new coach, same results for Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
And that's a guy we've talked a lot about. Cincinnati is a dysfunctional team. Here's the thing, though. You're looking at the Falcons right now, and people around the country going, we're a dysfunctional team.
Oh, am I going to answer another question about this? I'm telling you, man. I got guys, everybody with the same thing. They're killing my fantasy team. Julio, by the way, the great Julio versus Jalen Ramsey battle. What do you think of that? I mean, Jalen, there was one play where Matt overthrows. I mean, Julio goes as high as he can go. It's a high point. The ball was kind of overthrown by Matt. And Jalen was sitting there jawing over there by the Rams bench. But I thought, you know, other than not getting in the end zone, you really can't I would call it a draw.
Yeah.
You know, you keep Julio just under 100 yards.
I would say this, and if you're paying close attention, and I think Bo and I were talking about this, here's the strategy with the Rams, and I think Wade Phillips is as happy as can be. They're in town, by the way. They're going to London this next weekend.
Yeah, they're staying in Tech, right.
But, Mike, they have now, once they get their other corner back, you've got 2 physical, disruptive corners at the line of scrimmage. The thing about Jalen yesterday, man, he's pushing and holding Julio like crazy.
They bracketed getting some help from the safety coming over,
but,
of course.
But the deal is, if I can get away with holding,
right,
and they don't call it, it's nothing that you can do. And Julio's not complaining. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if you watch that matchup, there was a lot of that going on. And my point is that disrupts timing in offenses. Rams defense gets a lot better when that happens because guess what? They get 5 sacks like they did yesterday against Matt Ryan. This particular move, this one move, may elevate them in that division over there. I still like, what's going on with the 49ers and Seattle. We'll see them next week. But the Rams certainly got better.
I thought, if anything, I thought Rams were going to come out shooting. I thought they'd really be trying to throw the football. And, again, 5 catches for Robert Woods, 4 for Cooks. Everett was a tight end. They really liked that mismatch on the safety, so they kept going to it. Then finally they got traction on it for a touchdown. But I thought, I'll be honest with you, I thought McVay kind of missed the note in the first half by not throwing it more against us. They were really trying to commit to the run, and it was a ho-hum day for Todd Gurley, 18 for 41. Didn't get in the end zone.
By the way, I just real quick, I got to give Doug Peterson no balls. Remember, he guaranteed the win for Philly last night. They didn't win. Cowboys win. He gets a no balls. And one big game ball. You didn't hear it. If you haven't heard it, from Jose Altuve.
Game balls.
Here's a 2-1.
And that's driven deep to left center field. Gardner is going back. Looking up. See you later. See you later. Astros headed back to the World Series. Jose Altuve, a walk-off two-run homer. And the Astros beat the Yankees 6-4. Win the ALCS 4-2.
He's the most likable player, and one of the most likable players, Carl, in all of pro sports. You know, a little guy that just brings the heat, steps up at the big moments, is clutch, already won an MVP. And again, to have a 6'4" Aroldis Chapman, 5'6" Altuve, and wipe that smug grin off your face, Aroldis. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy in Yankee fans, as that thing is deposited over there in left center.
Let's give you guys a chance to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
R-E-L-A-X.
Relax.
That's an Aaron Rodgers quote from a couple of years ago.
We had it here with Billy Hunter, the old Hawks GM. Relax.
Yeah. That's the code word, 72881. 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. You have until 3:59 to do it. Don't message right now if you're driving, right? Do not text.
Yeah. You texted to 72881, guys, not the Salmon Brothers. That's a different line, but good luck, man. Relax. I mean, you can try to relax. Good luck with that.
All right, Dan Quinn's presser's on the way. We're going to tell you more about our Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament. And also, we'll get into some dog and college football conversation along the way, but it is a Falcon Monday brought to you by Xfinity. Hey, our Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation is this Wednesday, 4 until 7. Mike and I will be out there broadcasting live. And, of course, we'd love to see you guys out there. We've been telling you, go sign up on the website, our events page at 92onthegame.com. You can register on site at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs, too, for whatever reason. You've been busy. I get it. You want to come. Okay, you can register on site. But, guys, it is Wednesday, so that is the day. Make sure you put it down in your calendar. 2-game bowling tournament with trophies, prizes, including a $1,000 grand prize to the top bowling team. Now, on top of that, Hawks fans, NBA season is here, man. Orlando Magic opening night presented by State Farm is Saturday, October 26th. That's at 7:30. You'll listen right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But limited seats remain. Go to Hawks.com/tickets to secure your seats.
Yeah, man, looking forward to seeing you guys out of Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs, Travis Mannion Foundation. It's pretty cool. TravisMannionFoundation.org. You'll learn more about it, helping vets basically do some great work in the community, also get vets back to work. You can read all about their mission statement. We think it's a pretty cool cause to be a part of. So get all the details, man. It's just that if you want to just swing on by and grab an ice cold Hey Man, which we're going to have, and make sure you get your Hey Man ale for the weekend. By the way, we're waiting on Dan Quinn up at Flowery Branch to speak with the media here. Obviously, it's not the start we were talking about. I did think, Carl, we had something going our way yesterday before the game even started.
What's that?
I put the pictures up at Mike Bell ATL. You may have seen it. My mother-in-law came down from PA on her way down to Florida, stopped by over the weekend, spent some time with us, and she brought a Falcons orb,
okay,
which I displayed. It's basically a lamp. She got this at some RV show in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and thought of me. Now, where the hell am I going to put this thing in our condo? I have no idea. But if you didn't see the pictures, it is kind of neat. A lot of people said, man, where'd you get that thing? So I'm leaving the stadium yesterday, and with 2 minutes left in the third quarter, as thousands of other Falcon fans were filing out, and a guy goes to me, yeah, man, you can throw that orb out the window. I thought this is going to be like the talisman for the turnaround. We're going to have the magic orb. We'll bring it in studio. It's like a Falcon lamp. Anyway, the pictures are up at Mike Bell ATL. Anyway, we got no joy from the orb.
Yeah, well, my prayer didn't work yesterday, Mike. I mean, some people said I was asking for too much. I mean, they say if you pray, you shall receive, right?
Well, I think you got to pray harder.
I said, dear football gods, please allow our team the strength to get sacks. Didn't happen. Turnovers, it didn't happen. Score in all four quarters, didn't happen. No dumb mistakes, free. It didn't happen. No blown coverages, it didn't happen. Tackle, That didn't happen either. So, I mean, the D getting off the field, at least one thing happened, but not as frequently. As I said at the end of the tweet, is this too much? So some people were saying, Dukes, that's way too much to be asking for. Obviously, it was. So football gods, forgive us, and we'll ask for a lot less moving forward.
Yeah, man, now we just need a sign, and now we're waiting to hear as D-Led is talking to medical guys, and we're still waiting to get the definitive word, and maybe Dan will have more clarity on Matt Ryan's ankle sprain. If it's a high ankle sprain, you know how long that takes, guys. It takes a minute, although Saquon Barkley, not 100%, but was able to come back a little bit sooner than expected. But D-Led talking to a doctor, I guess a chiro or an orthopedist, saying that, yeah, it's going to take at least 3 weeks. Let's hope that's not the case.
Coming up at 5 o'clock, Falcon Report, I will tell you what has been going on with Vic Beasley. I know everybody's wondering. I will tell you at 5.
You won't even, Carl won't even tell me. I asked him off the air. I go, what's the secret here, man? You're like, no, you have to wait.
Also, we will open up the phone lines again at 420 for you guys to talk to us, okay? We've been wanting you to hear from you, should I say, today. But the thing is, what's the why? Don't just call us and tell us, oh, Dukes, man, I want him fired. I can't believe this is going on with the team. We are all in awe right now, in shock and awe. But what is the why? What is the reasoning behind the way you feel? And the first hour, there were so many good calls. They set the tone for the program today. And I said this yesterday. We're going to open up the lines, man. We want to hear from you guys. You guys are in this with us. You're feeling this. You're as passionate as we are. We're all wondering what the hell's going on. But more importantly, we want to talk to each other. This is therapy for everybody. So Mike and I get a chance to talk to you guys every day on a Falcon Monday. We're going to give you a chance to talk to us at 420 and 520 today.
Yeah, the special teams, that was we've had our arguments about special teams and how bad they've been the last few years. They move on from Keith Armstrong and this new coach, Ben Kwitka, who came over, been with the Redskins. Just, I mean, this is undisciplined, a lot of penalties, and now you had the fake punt, which everybody was screaming about, calling a timeout. That didn't work out well. Couldn't protect Matt Ryan. I mean, Matt did not have a good day. Matt was going to go for a record for 300-yard performances to start a season. That went out the window with the Aaron Donald. Obviously, pass rush is blowing in there like the Kool-Aid man. We also had problems with Carpenter and Brown again. You know, if it's not Brown, it's Carpenter. One guy comes back, the other guy goes out. Schweitzer had to come back in, and he was no match for Aaron Donald.
Yeah, listen, Sambrello's not good. Schweitzer's not good. That's just what it is. And as a whole, the line was not good yesterday. And we talked about it all week. We had Jake Matthews on and said, how are you guys going to block this guy? Well, they didn't block him. They didn't block anybody hardly yesterday. We are awaiting Dan Quinn as the Dan Quinn press conference is right now at Flowery Branch.
All right, we'll begin. Everybody's waiting on a status update on Matt Ryan. He does have a sprained ankle. We'll be preparing both ways. If he can, that's great. And if he can't, then the bye would come at a good time for him next week. He's already in the pool running. This, you guys have been around him. He'll try anything he can. So if he can't, that's the reason Matt Schaub is here, is for moments like that. If he is called upon, he'll certainly be ready to do that, much like it is at every position. So what do you guys got for me?
Yeah, Coach, one of the internet doctors said it's a high ankle sprain. Are you all just going to stay with sprain? Or?
Yeah, we'll stay with sprain, but we're hopeful that it's, you know, knowing him, there's lots of degrees to a sprain. You guys all know that, just like there is with a pull or a strain. And so with him, I wouldn't put anything out of the running, but hopefully it's not a long-term thing and more of a shorter-term thing.
Coach, would it be better to go ahead and rest him this week and let him rest into the bye and have that extra time too?
You know, that's not a question that I've asked. If he's ready to, then he would. But we wouldn't put him out there if he couldn't do all the things that he needs to. If it had to be out there where he was playing on one foot, then that wouldn't be the right way to go for sure. So if he can show that he was, you know, by the end of the week, able to do the things he does and the keepers and moving around, and he's not the fastest guy, but he does move around in the pocket. I think you guys know that, and is able to extend plays to get first downs. That's also a part of his game. So I think we'd have to know that he could do everything Vaughn, knowing in his limits.
You do expect him to be on the practice field at some point this week?
I'll have
week.
A better sense, you know, towards the end of the week. He won't be at the start of the week, but we'll see what it looks like at the end of the week.
And how is Ito, and I don't know all the nuances of the
rules. Yeah.
Is that a legal play?
Flag is thrown? Number one, first thing that's good, he's doing well. And so that's number one. He is in the concussion protocol, Zach, and he'll be out for this week's game. So sometimes you can quickly turn around to get going, but in this case, he'll be out for this week. And then much like Matt, how we were talking earlier, we'll you know, the bye will come at a time for him. We'll see what it looks like for the game after that. But he'll be out for this week. But good news for him that, you know, reports came back of, you know, that he's going to be okay.
Coach, after the game, Matt Schaub said that the Rams gave the offense some looks that they hadn't seen in right. terms of the pressure that they dialed up. When you went back and watched the game, what did you think the Rams did to have so much success getting to that?
Right. I think looking at the hard truth from the game last night, it confirmed a lot of what we already knew. You know, there were more hits and, you know, obviously to have sacks like that and have the hits, that was, to me, one of the big parts of the game. And I think they ended up with five sacks and a number of hits. So anytime there's pressure like that, there's two ways. Okay, you spread out and get the ball out to guys quickly. What actually took place for us a few times was creating some long yardage third downs, you know, which would definitely make a difference in that. Now, do you protect longer and you add pressure in? So as you go back through it, your rules certainly can take care of everything. There's always unscouted looks in each game. But at the end of it, you've got to either, you know, get the ball out to the guys quickly or find a way to block it up and then take the shots down the field.
On the roughing the passer play, what right. could have been done differently?
You know, when I went through that with the defense today, I said, this has changed, you know, over, you know, the course of the last 2 years, Zach. And I had said, you know, for a long time, this was coached as a really good play, and you were tight, and you hit, and had good contact. You didn't use your helmet, but it's changed. And so we've got to find a way to coach it and drill it. And if that involves even, you know, contact, we were talking about, you know, onto a you know, we're hitting a bag or a sled and turn, not a sled, but where you can hit and turn. And those are things that's going to take some time and some practice. I'm committed to finding those teaching ways to do it because when Foyer made the contact, how can he hit and then turn at just the last minute to show, hey, I'm not trying to land on him. And by no means was he trying to. He was just trying to, you know, run through the hit. So it's going to take some time. I think the tackling one, you know, we've been a shoulder tackling team. We're still seeing some fouls with an, you know, unnecessary roughness use of the helmet. Between that and the quarterback ones, those to me are the most challenging for the defense. Two different spots probably. I think the DBs have the hardest job of the use of the helmet. And then I think the defensive lineman or a blitzing linebacker has the hardest one on the hit to a quarterback. And so we're constantly showing examples from around the league. This was good. This wasn't. In fact, in the game a few weeks ago on the officials tape, there's one shown at J.J. Watt. This was a good example. The ball had been thrown. He had hit Matt but kind of went to the side. Another one, he had got a roughing foul because he, you know, took an extra step. So we're constantly trying to show those examples to the players. So, but those two are challenging for sure because you've done something one way a long time and now there's a shift and it's for the right reasons to take care of the players, but it's still a shift.
We're coming up on trade deadline before the right. end of the month. Has this record forced you and Thomas to take a hard look at how this team approaches what? Trade deadline?
Yeah, for sure. I think knowing, you know, this week off the field, you know, general managers and ours included, they're taking calls and making calls constantly. Names get brought up, things get discussed, you know, that sometimes never happen, but we really think about the team a lot, you know, not just now or this week or in this moment, but we're always thinking about, you know, the team and constantly, you know, evaluating the roster in that space. What I would say is if there was anything to go, we'd always want to make sure, you know, you're dealing with the player first. You know, if there was a trade, you know, as you're asking about, it doesn't make us want to look any more so than normal, but you know, we won't discuss anything involving a player in a trade until that's, you know, finalized, if it ever does, you know, take place. Just the players deserve that. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. They don't always hear all the discussions, so I think it can kind of get away from everybody at time to time.
Well, more so than about a specific player, but just about philosophically.
Got it. Overall.
Is there a different approach?
I understand. Yeah, because of the record. Right. Sure, I would say not more so than a normal time, and the reason I say that is because I think you're always – trying to look at it to say, all right, is there a personnel change? That also sometimes is on your own roster to say, okay, is it time to move somebody up from the practice squad or, you know, move playing time around to different ways? So I think that is a bigger piece of it to say, you know, you're constantly pushing to hit the right button. And there's been games where one side of the ball is played better than another or, you know, certain things. That's the maddening part at times to make sure you're constantly searching to get it right.
Coach, how did you go back through, I know Kelsey asked you about the pressures, but how did you go back and evaluate the offensive line as a whole and how they performed. I know one of the guys said, hey, you know, it was a tough challenge and everything like that. But I'm sure you want your guys to be up for,
no doubt,
for tough challenges.
Yes, absolutely. So. That's, you know, like part of the game. And like those are matchups, you know, when you don't meet them, you're pissed about it for sure. And they are, as a group, this is a group that's, you know, got a lot of pride, got a lot of, you know, the preparation into it. And that's led by Alex right in the front of it. For those of you that have been around him, you could imagine the amount of detail that goes into his preparation. So when something's not right, you know, they want to know about it. And like so in yesterday's performance, to have that many hits on the quarterback. Now, is it always on them? No. But there's five, you know, whether it could be on a back, a tight end. Those are involved in some of the sacks as well. But for us to have the physicality we want, you can't have that many hits and then not have the ability to convert on third down like yesterday. And so that's when the time of possession, you know, shifts like crazy, almost reversal of what they had a week ago. Talking about Los Angeles.
One of the guys even said, hey, you know, looking at Matt's injury, he said, hey, we can't have that happen. We can't let that kind of thing happen.
Yeah. When any offensive lineman would feel that way, like, amen. Like, they don't hit the quarterback.
And when you look at that, does that make you a little bit more cautious with Matt's status, you know, to get that cleaned up on how they're playing?
I see where you're going. Yeah. No, it would only be if Matt's able to, you know, function in the way that he can, you know, hitching up in the pocket, sliding and moving. Yeah, for that's the right thing to do, you know, not just for Matt, but that would be at any time. Because if a player is going to be out there, then he's got to be able to move and do his thing. And so if Matt could do that, Ryan I'm talking about, then we'd allow him to go, but not until then.
And then last question with that. With Carpenter and Schweitzer, with the switch there, right. Did it have to do with Carpenter's knee?
It did.
Okay, and yeah. How is his knee progressing? Because, you know, it looked like he was going to get treatment today. So.
Right. It was better today than it was last week at this time, so that's good. But, yeah, that is why we limited him some in the game. We had to do the same thing in practice. But we thought, you know, coming after the game, he's in a better place today than he was a week ago. So we're hopeful that that's trending in the right direction. But, yeah, it was we went into the game knowing that we would spell Carp some in the game.
Would you rather have James out there?
Correct.
When he's healthy?
Yep. Mm-hmm. But we just felt like, based on wasn't able to get the whole weekend, and, you know, he'd be better at, you know, two on, one off in a series, maybe 40 to, you know, 45 plays, and Wes taking the other piece of that.
As a follow-up on the line, I think you're approaching the time where you can start to make a decision about Lindstrom.
Right.
Is this coming upon the week where he could practice?
It's getting close. He has a follow-up this week. He's done all the things that, you know, we've wanted, and he's followed all the guidelines and instructions to the T. But he meets back, you know, with that staff, whether it's this week, and then he can't get practicing yet, but he's getting closer to where he can do more. But he's still in the healing stage of that. So
this week,
no, sir. No.
With Matt, it's been forever since he's missed, but I'm sure he hasn't not been dinged up. How tough have you seen? Have there been times where he's really kind of toughed it out when you thought maybe?
Oh yeah,
go?
Yeah, a lot. And so that's why I'd say there's a few guys that you would never count out. You know, and 11 is one. I've seen him heal faster than most. 51 is one. You know, based on his track record, and Matt, you know, on the offensive side is another. The three of those guys have done remarkable things to know they can heal and fast. I can play, and I would use the analogy. Andy Levitre and I talked about it one time as a starting pitcher. You don't always have your A game, but you can go win the game. And you know, I don't have the best fastball I had, but I'm going to have to rely on something else differently. And Matt and Julio and Alex Mack have demonstrated that time and again. So Grady Jarrett's another one on the defensive side that has certainly done that. Ricardo, there's a number of guys that have, but those three on the offensive side always stick out to me.
What do you have to say to fans?
I'll get you in the back first. I'll get you a couple more. Go ahead.
What do you have to say to fans who have watched five straight losses and justifiably are frustrated?
Yeah, well, I say I totally get their frustration, and we are too. You know, so like this team loves the city loves the team, and so nobody feels worse than we do because we want it so badly for them. We want to be able to deliver, so they have such an impact on the game, especially at home. So we want to make sure that they're lit up and get stuff to get all fired up about because it can make such an impact on the game, and we've seen that. So we're going to work like crazy to get it right. You know, it's that important to us. But, yeah, we recognize they're hurting, and we are too. But at the same time, like, We've got to get it right. And so that's what I want to spend all of our time doing to make sure that we can deliver for them. I'll get time for two more.
Good. From Bleedy and Carter back in the secondary, and then just maybe look ahead to the Seahawks.
Sure. I say first things, let's talk about for the secondary first. Outside with Bleedy, you know, all this length and experience he has, we were hopeful that he and Isaiah would share some of the duty as it went through. And that was how it played out for us, where we were going into the game thinking maybe it would be close to a 50-50 split. And I was pleased to see, you know, Bleedy come back in and play well. And then with Carter, it was kind of the same program with Ish of how we would use, you know, two people to play the strong safety position, some in the base package and some in the nickel package. And then as far as Seattle goes and our, you know, looking into them and where they're at, I think it always starts with Russell on the offensive side. And he's done a fantastic job of taking care of the ball this year, even stronger than most years. He's got a mindset to do that anyway. But I thought his ability to improvise plays on the run is really strong. And their offense has a very good awareness of how to do that. It's not just the quarterback getting outside the pocket. There's other, you know, people that have to be coordinating that as well. And I think defensively it's always led for them, you know, by the two linebackers inside with Wright and Wagner. And then the addition of the two big defensive ends, I think that adds to their team. But Wagner and Wright are the ones with the most experience, the most knowledge in the system, and, you know, really goes through them quite a bit.
Yeah, in the preseason, Giorgio missed three field goals, and you saw something to make a move.
Right.
Matt has now missed three field goals in 10 attempts. Have you seen anything with him, maybe bring in another competition this week, or are you still confident in his right leg?
Yeah, I'm confident in that right leg. And when it comes, you know, to mentally tough competitors, you know, he's right, you know, at the top of that list. So we've got real belief in him and how to do it. But, yeah, for sure, that's, you know, for – it's a frustrating moment, and you know, for sure, it's the smallest tweak, whether it's technique oriented, which it usually is at that position. But yeah, we've got lots of confidence in that. All right, thank you, guys.
All right, that's head coach Dan Quinn. It's Dukes and Bell. We'll talk about what he had to say. We'll also get some college football conversation in with the Dogs, and it is a Falcon Monday, guys. Brought to you by Xfinity. Xfinity. Remember, it's not Wi-Fi; it's X-Fi with Xfinity.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.